We're promoting this. I have threatened who? Whom?
I don't believe that is true, because I wouldn't let you go naked in a bathing suit, or what did that say?
I've threatened to do a bathing suit photo shoot.
Yeah, we've talked about that now.
Just please download the app.
I know that I'm hard.
We're not doing that. No!
I didn't have 6 a.m. on a Wednesday talking about me taking photo shoots in a bathing suit for threatening if you don't download the apps.
Yeah, you better download the apps. Or you better don't. Dusty's not going to do something or whatever.
But how about that?
Not what I heard, man.
Oh, yeah.
Not what you told me.
Okay.
Some people might like to see that, though. I don't know if that's...
I am the instigator. Oh, I mean, instigate the things around here.
They didn't say Alex Gold was going to do that, because then nobody would download the apps if they were going to get to see Alex walking around town in a bathing suit, right?
Honest question. Banana hammock, Gold or Binkley?
Binkley.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what would be better?
Who would look better? Who would you pay to see in the Borat swimsuit?
Binkley. Okay. Yeah, it's just Binkley. There's not another number two.
Who's number two work for?
Yeah, let's go, Jay. Put on that banana hammock. We'll talk to you in about 46 minutes or so.
Hopefully 44.
44 minutes. Yeah, that's right. Maybe we hit it on time today. Binkley's ready, though. Man. He's ready. He's ready to talk draft today, brother.
Somebody says, let's go. We want it. Maybe it's just me. I really don't think you believe that.
No.
Just download the apps.
Yeah, just do that. Watch us Instagram, on YouTube.
You know, Instagram, Facebook, Die Royal Decree, Chiefs Take, all that stuff. It's real easy. You don't need to see this in a swim. Nobody needs to see that. Give me a couple more months and we can have a different conversation. And somebody says, and Alex, too.
There it is.
I don't wear bathing suits.
Just come to my apartment complex. I'm a thirst trap.
That makes me run away. I wear t-shirts. I don't want to get sunburned.
Hell yeah, that's where I am. I don't care. I'm not getting like Maloney and having to get the stuff burned off my body. Like I'm out on that business, man.
Dude.
Awful, awful. Skin cancer and colon cancer. I saw another one today about James Vanderbeek this morning about talking about the colon cancer. And, you know, people are dying younger and younger every year with colon cancer. And so you need to get those colonoscopies, you know, right around 40, not 50, not 45. Don't listen to what they tell you. They're liars. Get them about 40 years old and make sure that you're clean inside and wear sunscreen, man. Like, it's so important. Yep. My mother growing up always told me, you know, there were three S's, no smoking, no sex, no sunscreen, and wear sunscreen. I was like, okay, I'll always remember those, right? Right. Sure. But the sunscreen one is something that I'm very passionate about that. I mean, we get our sunscreen now from Europe, because in the European version of the sunscreen, it protects you against 36 different things. American sunscreen protects you against 18 different things. And so,
hello, America.
I mean, I am, you know, sunscreen for me, colonoscopies for me, all that kind of stuff, man. Take care of yourself, because you don't want to deal with the crap at the end. You don't want to go through colon cancer. You don't want to go through skin cancer. You don't want to go through all of those things that are preventable. It's simple. It's not that hard to do. So smear that stuff on your face and put it on your head and your arms and your legs. And seriously, get pasty and get a colonoscopy and make sure you're there for your family, because you just see too many people dying way too early from this stuff.
Dude. I'm not having the bass just thump, thump. I'm not going crazy.
That's Alex poolside, baby. On a Saturday in July.
I need Alex to say the line, though. I know that I'm hard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but
yeah,
in the gold voice, I know
I'm not going to say that. There's just no way I'm saying that. Not
Sunday,
a chance.
I'm going to shave the cheeks and everything else.
Good.
Yeah.
You look good in that banana hammock.
See, look, there's those calves creamsicles. Yep, aren't those clean?
I never noticed them to wear creamsicle uniforms before. I never saw that.
I didn't know if it was new or if I'm just a bad NBA fan.
I don't know, Dusty. I'm with you. I don't know if that's a new look for Cleveland or if that's something they rolled out from the 80s that we're all supposed to get excited about and like we do with Tampa Bay. I don't know. I don't remember. Who watched the Cleveland Cavaliers ever?
Because they had a good win last night, didn't they?
That's that's a great uniform collab,
It
too.
Is. It's nice. It's awesome. I like
it. The true Nick blue.
Oh, with the Nick.
The cream single orange, and then the fades.
The court looks good,
and
too.
It says the land in the middle of the court.
Like, I know that I'm hard.
I think that's probably, it's got to be like their City Connects or something like that, right? Their version of the City Connects. Maybe. Because
if the NBA put the energy towards the courts and the uniforms that they could put towards the
playing
sport,
the game,
we'd be nails, dude. Yeah. We'd have everything.
It'd be amazing. It'd be perfect.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah, if you had the same energy and effort out there every night from the players that you do from the marketing departments, my God, we'd be running all over the place with that league. People would be excited about the NBA.
You know where you have a lot of energy?
Where's that?
In the lottery system in Kansas. A lot of energy there. It's rigged.
You want to talk about it.
My senior year is ruined because of Raleigh. That poor girl is banned.
I mean, my God. I mean, you want to talk about scandal in Lawrence, Kansas, the camping groups getting into it yesterday. And look, I've talked
about first world problems.
Seriously, Dusty, like, okay, so I
had to stand in row 5 and I was here at 1 a.m. I saw Bill speak. How am I in row 6? No one's going to see my Boshi jersey that my mom gave me from Delta Chi.
Well, it's Kappa Delta from what I understand.
Well, she probably got it from a Delta Chi guy.
Did, yeah, but I understand Riley, who was called out in this post yesterday.
Poor girl.
I mean, so if people are like, what are you guys talking about? At KU, the students camp out to get the best seats for the games. Everybody knows that, right? Back in our day, and this is our text thread last night, because most of my buddies have kids at KU now that are in the middle of this thing. Mm. I've got some friends that are up there as students at KU, so I'm talking to them last night that are in the middle of this thing. This is the scandal that is Rock Lawrence, Kansas, right? You thought the Darren Peterson stuff was bad. This thing is to a new level. So back in the mid-90s, when we used to do it, there was a piece of paper on a door at Allen Fieldhouse, and everybody just wrote their name on it, and somebody just yelled out the names every once in a while. They took attendance, boom, it was done, and you moved on, right? Technology, I guess they're like drawing numbers out of a hat or whatever, and the people that have been in charge, what do they call it? The camping board or whatever it is, because Riley will no longer be associated with camping leadership. So I guess the camping leadership for years, people are saying now, have been, you know, kind of fixing the lottery, that their groups were always going to be kind of at the top. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's life, I guess. I mean, you know, that's a reality of it. But it got to the point where they caught these people cheating, and man, they laid down the hatchet on them and called. This is what the KU camping Twitter said yesterday. We are aware of a message sent by one of our camping leaders describing the falsification of a numbered chip some groups pulled this morning at the lottery. With this being the final home game of her senior year, a selfish action was taken that goes against what ourselves as a group and the entire student body believes in. These two groups have now been moved to the bottom of the order, and Riley will no longer be associated with camping leadership. The integrity of Kansas basketball is essential to us. The integrity of Kansas basketball, yeah. Mm. And we're taking action to keep all lotteries fair and honest. Nothing is bigger than KU basketball, and we will hold our members to the same standard. Signed, camping leadership. So Riley, instead of sitting in row 5, you've got to go to the back of the line. They really laid down a lot of Riley and everybody else that was cheating during this thing.
And I'm here to reach out to Miss Riley if you'd like to defend your case.
We're open.
Absolutely.
913-586-7965.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear.
Side
innocent
story. Yeah.
Until proven guilty, Riley.
That's right,
they
Riley.
They can put their names on the docket. Let me be the defense attorney. Is that the right name to use for
Riley, yeah. You would be your defense attorney, yeah.
She missed it by 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And no one would have known what was going on. So it would have been somebody else's fault next year.
That's right.
Because ain't Riley the trailblazer of this.
But I'm hearing from sources up there, like text messages from a year ago are starting to surface now. And screenshots from things from a year.
Yeah, because this isn't the first time.
Oh, no. Everybody kind of knew this was going on. But, like, they got brazen, I guess, about it and got caught. You know, it's like thieves. They're really good until they go a little bit too far, until they push it just too far. Oh, I can get away with this. I don't have to cover my tracks. Boom, busted. And so that's what happened up in Lawrence. You know, you didn't cover your tracks. Boom, busted. But imagine February, March, really, now of your senior year, you're ostracized on campus if you're Riley, I would imagine, right? Like,
sure.
It's going to be hard to go to class. It's going to be hard to hang out in Lawrence and do all that kind of stuff.
I'm emailing my professors, and I'm like, the rest of the semester, I'm online.
Would you do that? Honest to God, you guys are obviously younger than I am. If this was you, Mac, embroiled in this kind of campus scandal, would you take the rest of the semester online and just graduate and disappear
from
Lawrence?
I'm confrontational, so I would go to I would just talk to everyone who'd come up to me, and I'd have my case. Like, I'd talk to my defense attorney, Dusty.
Right.
Give him a call, and I'd get my statement. Right. I'd be ready to go.
Yeah. What would you do, Dusty? Would you go to online?
I'd go to Riley and I'd say Ruben's Case, Ruben's Cambiano, and Likens because they're strength in our numbers. No, I would definitely, I would feel, I'm like Mac, I'm the same way. Like, I know we talked about this yesterday, introverted, extroverted. I would go to class, and then if it got to a point where it was like every day was just a mess and I was distraction for everybody, I'm once again not about
There's
just
that
me.
Guy who cheated.
And I would turn around and be like, and I got $1,300 for it. And free swipes at the cafeteria. Kiss my ass. And I'm not coming back to class.
And that's the last time you be there. See, I'm different. I would have been anti because I'm a rule follower. That's my personality. We've talked about that. I would like, I'm not involved in this. Like,
I've never done it in the first place.
And that's the thing. Like, I would never have done that in the first place. But if I got caught up in it, if it was my fraternity that got caught up in this, I mean, I would probably go on campus and just be the introverted Bob that I've always been and just kind of sit there and, you know, see what happens. Yeah.
Suck an egg.
I think you probably have more a furor, if you will, if you're going out to the bars at this point in time, right? Because now people are getting drunk and they're seeing these people out there that have been, you know, cheating for all these years and screwing people out of seats at Allen Fieldhouse. And that may be more of a challenge for anybody. But this thing yesterday, man, all my kids, friends that are kids are up there are like, this is a big deal. And if you're in college and you're a KU right now, this is a huge deal. I responded back to a couple of the kids that
they
I was talking to.
They sent out a press release.
They did. It's
pathetic.
One of the texts came out that said from one of my buddies is like, it's been on the news all day. I'm like, it's Lawrence, Kansas. Gosh. What news, first of all? Like,
basketball. Yeah.
But I'm just responding to all these kids. I'm like, I find this hysterical. I do. Like, I find this to be absolutely peak college, peak hysterical. But man, I do feel bad for this Riley gal because she is going to be the center of everything and has been the center of everything. And people are posting her picture from when Bill showed up the other day at the campsite, you know, with them talking to all the kids, and she's right there as camping leadership. It's like, it's just the greatest scandals in college mean absolutely nothing when you get out that door. This is peak college right
You're
now.
You're in that bubble, though, man.
You are in that
Living
bubble.
That. Yeah,
yeah,
I've
already
awesome.
Got, I've already got my opening statement ready.
Okay.
For
you do? Please. What is it?
I'd say, here's a woman that comes to class and school every day. And we have a kid on this basketball team who she supports who doesn't even show up for games.
There it is.
Case closed.
She's never gone to her sorority sister and said, hey, I'm done, when she's got to stand in line for tickets. And that's why she got the front row. This guy doesn't even play enough, and he can't be the first overall pick because of it. Coincidence? No. Let's begin this trial.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh. It's coming. I'm telling you. I mean, I don't know who that is in the dugout. Is that Rusty?
Oh, gosh.
Ah, man, I'm trying to think of whose voice that is.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if that's a grown-ass man being completely just blown away by 460, 115 off the bat.
Yeah,
doesn't
I'd like
mean
to
anything.
Know whose voice that is, though. Play it again.
Okay, hang on. Let me
more
go
time.
Back to it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh. It sounds older.
Oh, gosh.
Can we also listen to the sound
familiar.
Of the ball and the
yes.
bat? That is a baseball getting murdered.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
I know that I'm hard. Exactly. Coming up on the other side, we dive more into things that are, well, I'm not going to say scandal, but the Chiefs plan, and I'm going to be honest with you, I know absolutely nothing about what the Chiefs
should do. Boy, misdirection yesterday.
Yesterday, 3 days ago.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
Out of anybody should talk, he should never grab a microphone.
And Dusty Likens.
His ass is foul of all foul.
Weekdays, 6 to 10. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5, The Fan.
Hey, Dusty, can you play that Caglione home run again, please?
No, as much as you want.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh. I don't know who that is. But was that off Carlos Estevez by chance?
No.
Okay.
Tell you, man, as soon as I saw Andy Rogers' tweet yesterday, I sent it directly to Bob Fesco.
God, I'm scared to death. I really am.
We had our little meet and greet up at our friends at Heartland Men's Health yesterday. How the Royals look. First, Mac, I'm not even kidding you. 0.3 seconds out of Fesco's mouth. I don't know, man. Carlos has got me in a fumble.
Well, he does. I mean, you've seen bad closers. I mean, we saw, you know, 10 years ago it was now. But, I mean, my God, I can't believe it's been 10 years. But the reincarnation of Joaquin Soria here in Kansas City, what a disaster that was. I was talking to my friend Gemini yesterday, right? Gas Can Oria, you know, or, you know, whatever, Butane Oria.
To give reference, though, Andy Rogers tweeted yesterday, Carlos Seves' velocity was down, way down today. In his spring debut, 86 to 89 miles per hour. This is obviously eyebrow raising and something to monitor, but not new. It's exactly what came up last year. It's typically a slow start for him. Royals really rely on how he says he feels.
So what's interesting to me is both her and Vern, who are more in tune with the team than anybody I've ever met in my entire life.
I'd say her,
right?
Vern, and Jalen Thompson.
Those are the three. Those are the people that are embroiled into this. And it's interesting that they're all kind of caveating with, well, this did happen before, but yet they're all talking about it, right? Right. Mm-hmm. If this was normal, maybe we're not talking about it, though. That's how I look at it. Like, if this is a Stevez every year, we should be like, oh, there's nothing big about it. But the way that Annie Rogers and the way that Vern are talking about it has me concerned that it is different than something that every year. And I think the every year stuff may be a little bit of something that everybody's kind of using as some positivity to kind of fall back. And, well, this happens every year. Let's see. But, you know, the average lifespan, like I said, I was talking to my friend Gemini yesterday, 2 to 4 years is the average lifespan of a closer in Major League Baseball. I mean, that is it. Obviously, there are outliers, but when you put that much kind of taxation, if you will, on your arm, like those are tough outs to get the ninth inning, right? That's not the sixth inning. That's not, you know, the intensity of outs they always talk about. Those final three outs are the most intense outs of any baseball game. And so guys are going to get, you know, all their energy worked out in a couple of years because they're going full speed, you know, balls to the wall, basically, for an entire inning like that. No other pitcher does that in baseball, right? Nobody goes balls to the wall for one inning like closers do. And so they blow out very, very fast. And, you know, with both Annie Rogers and Vern, like, raising, not like answering our questions about it, but legitimately bringing it up and having it at the forefront. Yeah, I am concerned about where he is right now.
Yeah, every time you see the name Carlos Estevez attached to Annie Rogers or Vern, it's got Bob going,
oh gosh.
Oh gosh.
It does, man.
Have you seen this though in the past ever in players that have done this regularly? It's slow start, ramp up velocity.
Normally with like starters.
Yeah, a lot of starters. You hear about it every year. Slow starter. He's got to find the zone. A lot of that is bull. Okay, because I've been covering this baseball since 01, and a lot of it, they make up things when, you know, they're trying to send a positive message. Like, for all those years and the Royals were going to lose 100 games, he's working on some things. And, you know, I was trying to locate my fastball. Well, you didn't really do a good job of it. They hit 4 home runs today, you know? Like, you know, those kinds of things, I think people will say they're working on it, and it's slow, and it's a process, when they're not really sure and they're really not confident about it right now. And so I think if you're the Royals, man, you give this another week or so, you see how he is once he comes back from the World Baseball Classic. But if it's not where it needs to be, you've got to start scouring the market and trying to figure out what you're going to do with that closer position. Because, again, I just don't think there's anything more demoralizing in sports than your team battles for 8 innings and your closer comes out there and serves up meatballs and all of a sudden you lose the ball game.
I'm also trying to hope Vern's sanity stays safe for the first month of the season, because if Estevez goes out there and blows saves in the first 30 games of the season, that's going to be one hell of a postgame show on 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah.
And I'll be sitting in my car every time I hear Vern go to the phone lines going,
oh, gosh.
By the way, that was 460 feet, 115.8 off the bat.
God, the voice does sound so damn familiar, though.
I don't know who it is.
It's driving me nuts today.
Need to figure out who that is.
Could be nobody, though. Could be just some guy that was
a guy.
Like, I feel like if we play that, because you know how managers are weird? Like, they just have that, like, whatever that is in their brain that they could just, either it's a photogenic memory or it's a sound or a moment. I feel like if we play that for Q and we have him on for the season, like, who is this?
Yeah.
Right away. Oh, that's Scotty. He's our assistant hitting coach. Like, okay. Makes sense. I don't know who that was, but I want to know, because, like, I had the same reaction because the tweet went out and then eventually the video goes out. And then, you know, so on and so forth. Everybody says Mac and Bob have had a Tuesday, but Dusty's not the only one that's not having a bad Tuesday. But you love to see that. Keep it coming, Jack. See what you do in the World Baseball Classic as well for Team Italy, because that'll be a stage where, like, you'll be a needed bat, similar to what you'll be needing in the regular season. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do. I know yesterday was quite a day. for at least I think the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, obviously, Brett Veach speaking at the Combine in Indianapolis. We'll have people on there throughout the week. Mitch Holtis is out there. Matt McMullen's out there. Nate Taylor's out there as well, helping us with some content out there. Man, so the Jets announced yesterday that Breece Hall's getting the franchise tag.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Right?
But you could also do a sign and trade, but if you weren't willing to give up a third last year at the deadline for Breece Hall, will you be willing to meet the Jets' demands now for Breece Hall? And I just don't think you trade for Breece Hall. There's other options out there.
And you also
franchise tagged him to keep him, too.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was kind of alluding to last week, where I'm like, the Jets are going to screw this up for everybody, right? They're either going to give Breece Hall money and say, you're going to be the cornerstone of the franchise we are rebuilding, or they franchise tag him. That's, I mean, because you say tag and trade, but like, in all reality, if you're explaining something to somebody who's not really a follower of the sport, you'd be like, that's a very rare thing to happen.
It is. It really
like,
is.
Normally, when you see they're going to franchise tag him, the first thing like everybody seemed to do on Twitter yesterday was like, well, that calls the Breece Hall thing off. So there's one gone. Javonte Williams gone, right? And Brett Veach spoke yesterday, and this is what he talked about with the Chiefs' offseason plans.
I think every year, I mean, it's a challenge, and you know, we do have some flexibility with how we're set up to do some different things, but you know, it's not like we have $90 million in cap space. You know, we have to execute an efficient game plan in free agency, and then we got to nail these picks, and that'll be important for us to keep this run going. Obviously, we had a step back last year, and everyone's disappointed, but everyone's motivated, and you know, even the coaching staff, too. Like I said, the last few years, we haven't had a chance to really get with them much before the combine, and right after that Vegas game, I mean, those guys were all in, and it was exciting and energetic in a way, just to get out there. And I think the last few years, you know, we were kind of just like in a maintenance stage, and now we're trying to just rebuild this thing again. And I think for a GM and a personnel staff, that's exciting.
Should be, right? This is the, I guess, most primo position that Brett Veach has been able to draft in with the top 10 pick, ninth overall. We see all the mock drafts. We'll have Binkley on in about 20 minutes, and he's got a mock draft dropping either today or I believe it's today with the Character Concerns podcast with he and Chris Unicero. But obviously plans are going to happen. We've seen Mike Dana get released. I heard, you know, Brett Veach talk about that. Like, hey, we want to give him time to go out there, and then if we need to, we can get back into a conversation if we want to bring him back. I don't think that's a reunion. And then obviously the name Travis Kelce gets brought up. And I don't know, if you were to like number offseason moves of importance, I think Kelce's decision and what happens with him is in the top three, maybe top two, with what this team is going to do in the offseason. I think if you look at the running back position, the Travis Kelce situation, and the Trent McDuffie situation, I think those are probably the three most intriguing stories that we're looking at as of right now. Obviously, the draft is such a conglomerate of stuff that I don't know like where that is, because some people have Lemon, some people have Bain, some people have Love, some people have maybe a guy you haven't thought of that's a perfect fit for the Chiefs. But this was Brett Veach on the Kelce situation.
Yeah, I think we've kind of taken a different approach with Travis, in the sense that I think, you know, we've kind of prepared for either scenario. And Coach had mentioned on Friday, he's had great dialogue with Travis on our end, myself, Crochet, Travis's crew. We've had some good dialogue there. And I'm sure we're going to see him here just like we will all the other players' agents, and we'll continue that dialogue. But Travis is the best. He's an icon, and hopefully he comes back, and we'll just kind of let that process play out. It's not your typical, hey, 27-year-old, first time at free agency. I mean, Travis has done everything. He's accomplished everything. He's about to get married. He's got a lot going on. And so I don't think there's an element of us not trying to, you know, you need some sort of deadline timeline, but at the same time, I mean, it's Travis Kelce, so we're going to just continue to have positive dialogue and see where this thing ends. But I think we're trying to position ourselves that either way, you know, we have a plan moving forward.
So it sounds like they're just waiting on him.
Yeah.
And all reality, like, he gives him all his accolades, all the excuses that are well-merited, right? Like, he's getting married. He's not a 27-year-old free agent anymore. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's done everything he needs to do. And we've basically said to ourselves, we are going to do one of two things, move on without him or move on with him. And either way, we are prepared on both sides of that sphere to see what we do moving forward.
Well, and I think they kind of know what they're going to do and where Travis is going to be. I would assume Travis is coming back, and they're planning on having Travis Kelce come back. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Travis Kelce coming back or retiring should have any impact on what you're doing this offseason or what you're really doing for the future. I mean, Brett Veach said it, you know, there he goes, for the last few years, we've been maintaining. And that's a great way to put it. I love the fact that he said that, because that kind of let us all in about, like, what's been going on? Why haven't you been updating the roster? Well, we keep going to the Super Bowl. We're just going to maintain where we are. And now we're kind of in that rebuild stage. And he used that term rebuild. I don't think Travis Kelce should have an impact on your rebuild process at all. To me, Travis Kelce ends up being, the final piece of your meal, that nice piece of the meal that ties it all together at the end. But it shouldn't, effective if you're going to have salmon, if you're going to have steak, if you're going to have chicken, you get that extra piece at the end that ties that whole meal together. That's Travis Kelce. You should still go in and prepare that meal because he's not going to be here next year, right? You still got to rebuild. But having Travis Kelce should not affect anything that this team wants to do. If you feel like you still need to go get a tight end, go get a tight end. If you feel like you need to go get a running back, go get a running back. And, oh, by the way, Travis will be here as well to kind of shepherd everybody through this kind of final season that he's going to see here in Kansas City. So one way or the other, this thing is over in less than 300 days, right? One way or the other, you're done with Travis Kelce after this season. So you've got to prepare that Travis Kelce just isn't going to be part of your future because this is a good draft to start planning out the next wave, right? If you're rebuilding, you want to plan out that next wave. But having Travis Kelce, in the mix isn't holding you back from doing what you need to do to move forward as an organization at all. It's not like Aaron Rodgers and you're waiting on your quarterback,
Yeah, tight end should be a part of your plan no matter what because need future there. So it may not be in the draft this year, so we could look at free agents. We did it the other night on After Hours. It's bleak. David Njoku's probably the only name
you'd really want. Kyle Pitts got franchise.
Yep. Isaiah Likely is going to get overpaid. I don't want to have that on this team at all. He can't run block. He's not good for the system. So, yeah, they've got to figure that out either way. I thought it was interesting what Brett Veach said, speaking on Kelce. Like, there is a line, where we'll need to kind of figure out what's going on. So I just want, when is that line where Veach is in his office kind of pacing back and forth going, okay, I got to call him.
Yeah. There isn't one.
No, there is. There has to be.
I would say the line is probably April 1st.
Yeah, like getting close to the draft, like, hey, dude, I need to know what's going on.
I would say, hey, I'm going to give you all of the offseason, but April 1st,
Well, maybe next week. It's the league year. I mean,
maybe it's tax day.
March 11th kind of starts, the league
that
year.
That makes sense.
So a week from Monday, you kind of got to know where we're going to be on the cap and what your salary is going to be. And so I just don't think, I think they know what's going on, right?
Yeah,
nothing is official, obviously, until the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and nobody wants to get ahead of themselves, and if they say something, then it ticks off the others, whatever the case may be, right? Mm-hmm. So you just kind of let it play out. This is also the silly season and the misdirection season, too. So most of this stuff that these guys are spewing up there, I'm not like the Raiders yesterday, right? Oh, we'd love to have Max Crosby back. Translation, make us your best offer. He's available, right? Oh, we don't know what we're going to do at number one. Mendoza may not be our pick. Translation, we hate this guy. Make us your best offer, at number one. The 49ers with Mac Jones yesterday. Well, it's going to take a lot to trade him. Make him your offer. The Eagles yesterday, we're going to do something different other than the tush push now because people thought and know how to stop it. Okay. We're still going to do the tush push out there, right? So this is the misdirection season where a lot of it is lies. A lot of it is just, fodder.
Elies
and all that kind of stuff. So I always laugh at the GMs and coaches that talk at the combine because a lot of it is. It's just misdirection. It's the silly season. And a lot of guys are trying to get offers out there for their picks, The Jets maybe want to trade their pick. Maybe the Giants want to trade their pick. Hell, would you be opposed to the Chiefs trading out of 9 and picking up a couple of extra first round picks or maybe another first and a second round pick?
Absolutely. That'd be great.
That'd be fun, right?
Yeah, I'd be cool. in on that. Yeah.
So I think everything's on the table for every team out there right now. That's like, this would be, if you're a GM, this would be the part that I would like. Going around, gossiping, getting all the information, taking your notes, putting together a plan, figure out what's going on, figure out who wants to do what, and then kind of put your plan together. Because once they get back from Indianapolis, now you're really going to have an idea of what's going on because you met with all these agents, right? You've talked to the other teams. You know what you can start to try to accomplish after you talk to everybody in person.
Yeah, I'd get pretty goofy around draft time if I was a GM. That's where I'd start playing the draft like I play poker. I'd be like, I know what hands I'm going to put my chips and focus on, and I know what hands I'm going to try to, steal a few blinds to get me a couple rounds around the table without, anybody, noticing what I'm doing. And I do think that the combine / free agency area is fun, but, I mean, how fun is it on your fantasy draft when, you're picking, 5th and you go, man, if this guy picks him, I can steer this thing any way I want.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah. I feel like that's like the childish version of the NFL draft. Obviously, I would not know what to do once my team was on the clock.
Right.
Like, you think radio clock is fast the first day you step into a studio.
Well, remember the Vikings missed the time, you know?
Well, that is a fair point. This was also Veach on the dialogue of he and McDuffie.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of dialogue with Trent, looking forward to get with him. And obviously, Trent's a great player and see what we can do there. But certainly love to have Trent back and for the long term.
So
if we can come to an offer, great. If not, we have the ability to trade Trent McDuffie. I mean, that's exactly what that is. You know, they looked at Trent a couple of years ago as one of those kind of those next pillar guys of that next wave of, you know, of talent here in Kansas City. But I love Trent McDuffie both personally and professionally. But guys, do you think he's more valuable to us as a player or as somebody as a trade chip? Obviously, depending on what you get back for that trade chip. But I can make a case either way. This is a tough one for me. I think, you know, and I hate to say this, but we already may have gotten the best we'll ever get out of Trent McDuffie. A couple of Super Bowls, a couple of Pro Bowl years, and maybe you sell high. And maybe that's what you do, and you move on from Trent McDuffie. Or you decide, hey, you know what, if we can come out to a team-friendly deal and it makes sense for us and we can lock you up long-term, then, hey, maybe we will lock you up long-term because he is the best cornerback that's come through here. What do you guys think? I'd love to get your opinions, Mac and Dusty, on this. Like, what would you do in this situation?
Well, what did we say yesterday about Jeremiah Love? Like, if he got picked ninth, we'd be like, eh, all right, I'll figure out how to like this. Even though, like, going into it, I, you know, would want defensive line or whatever, but eventually you would just be like, I mean, I'm not pissed, right?
You like, you're like pissed, but you're not pissed.
Yeah. I think, am I wrong speaking for both of us right now about the McDuffie thing where it's like, I would love it, but if I'm not going to get what I want for him, then I could make myself like the fact that now he's a lifer in Kansas City and he's one of the best in his positions. It just,
it's like we're settling for something really awesome too, you know, but I get what you're coming from on that because I'm kind of the same way as you, Dusty.
I can convince myself. I mean, he's a 25-year-old all pro corner. Like, I can get there.
Yeah. Great off the field. Great on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great
to worry about him. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's an A-plus guy. He's an A player. So I just want us to put him in the right situations. My daughter thinks he's hot too.
So,
he is hot. Yeah. He's got
swag.
Yeah. Great eyes. He's got swag. Yes.
He's taken, ladies.
Good looking guy. I just wish we'd put him in the right situation. I think we failed in the last two seasons.
I don't disagree with that. That's a great point by you.
He's
a
5'10" corner that they've decided to put out in the X. He's a slot corner. That's when he was an all pro. He's a slot. I mean, I've said it a million times. So put him in a better situation. If you're Trent McDuffie, you'd want to be put in a better situation too.
Yeah, I think he was in a bad situation last year. And I go back to talking about the different personalities of players and whatnot and looking at, you know, Justin Reed and how much he was missed this year because he was such a leader and a floor general, if you will, out there, a field general. And they wanted Trent McDuffie to kind of be that guy, but that's not his personality, right? That's not who he is as a human being. And you can't change somebody and say, all right, now take, you know, who you are and be a leader out here. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. And so that's why I think Caleb Downs would be a great pick at number nine if he's there.
Well, I said, yes, he's going two overall the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, right? Like, if he goes two overall.
I think that wish is gone.
I think that wish is gone too. But that's really where the Chiefs do need to focus, though, is shoring up that safety spot and getting that alpha dog back there that is that true field general like you had with Justin Reed and you had with Tyrann Mathieu. And so if you get that guy back in the equation and you better cast, if you will, Trent McDuffie as a guy that's going to be a listener and not the leader and not the guy who has to be the back end floor general, then yeah, it's a much better situation. And I'm not down really on Trent after last year. There was no defensive line pressure that took any pressure off of him. And the Justin Reed situation ended up being a miss, you know, by this organization by allowing him to go. And so all of that stuff factors in. And it's all that stuff that nobody wants to talk about, that behind the scenes stuff that has such a big impact on what goes on the field with these guys.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Better believe it, it's a poll question on a Wednesday for the Fesco and Dusty poll question on the Fan 965. And I kind of alluded to it earlier. Would your opinion change more on the Chiefs if they did select Jeremiah Love at the ninth overall pick? Or do you think people's opinion would change more on Darren Peterson if he took Kansas to a Final Four? So
I think the Jeremiah Love thing.
Because if you think about it, we've heard a lot of people, I don't know, I don't want to say everyone, but I would say it's about 60-40, maybe 65-35,
that are pretty advocate of saying, I do not want a running back in the first round. We've seen that you don't need to do this. Go sign a free agent. But with the Breece Hall information yesterday, that leaves like Travis Etienne is a name that could be possibly
absolutely
coming.
That's
here.
It's a good pick. Yeah, it's a good sign.
And Allgeier could be still a name that you look at in the open market. Rico Dowdle's another name that maybe could be a piece here as well. But what would you change your mind more so? Do you think the perception would be the Chiefs taking Jeremiah Love at ninth with a running back, or if Darren Peterson were to lead KU to a Final Four, would all be forgotten?
I think people have their mind made up about Darren Peterson, and I think that's not going to change. I do think a lot of fans, though, would be excited with a running back because that's a sexy position, right? And Jeremiah Love is a sexy name who played at a sexy university at Notre Dame. And so what do? We watch the sexy schools. We've seen Jeremiah Love play. It's a name. So I think people would be stoked. I think the fans would be stoked with Jeremiah Love. I think the interesting one about Darren Peterson is, though, even if they win the national championship, everybody will paint everybody else as the reason why they won the national championship based on the way the narrative's been on Darren Peterson. So I just think people have their minds made up on him. No, I think if Jeremiah Love gets drafted here, he'll be a fan favorite immediately, and a lot of people will be buying that jersey.
We'll find out. We'll talk to
Big. It happens all the time.
To that guy next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Binkley time on a Wednesday at 6:45. Binkley, I'm sure you were all in on the Brett Veach audio yesterday. I have come to the conclusion I know nothing. They're going to draft Jeremiah Love at the ninth overall pick. They're going to sign Trent McDuffie to an extension. And everything that I talked about for the last 2 months is completely false. What say you?
Those GM interviews are always great. There's actually nothing that ever comes out of them. Veach usually gives one nugget, though. He gives one nugget of their plans. He's done in the past with the hot zone when he's talking about the second or third round, and that's the round he traded for that extra pick with the Ravens getting in that zone, or running backs. You can get one at the end of the draft or undrafted free agent. That was Pacheco back in the day. But there's only one question that I think GMs should be asked, and that's how many guys are actually first-round guys? Like how many? Because they all put numbers, 12 of them, 18 of them, whatever, just like Trent McDuffie when they drafted him, because he started sliding into the 20s, and the Chiefs actually had a first-round grade on Trent McDuffie, and that's why they went up to get him. But that's the only pertinent question, I think, for GMs.
So, Jay, speaking of Trent McDuffie, we were talking about that in the last segment. What would you do with Trent McDuffie?
I would try to do whatever I can to keep Trent McDuffie. You think about this defense, and you really want this defense to become solid, and you look at the quarterbacks and the quality of quarterbacks in the AFC. Yeah, it was a little bit of a down year for Trent McDuffie, but he's so young, and I think he's got so much ability. But finding good corners is so difficult, and they really wanted Trent McDuffie when he came to the Kansas City Chiefs, and he really hadn't let them down much. There was some times last year, inside or outside, with the ideal position for Trent McDuffie. But as far as making this defense solid, you need good cornerbacks. So having him, having Noel Williams back there, especially, you know, with Trent McDuffie, you know, already being a champion and already, you know, having that kind of mindset, and he's a good dude for this football team, and he's good with the other players as far as teaching in the secondary. So I'm pro keep Trent McDuffie. Because I don't think you can trade. Like, if you do trade him, what are you going to trade him for the Rams and get pick 29, which is essentially a second-round pick anyway? This draft's not very good. So if you make a trade with another team and you get a pick in the 20s, you're kind of getting a second round pick anyway.
So would you say that you're keeping Trent McDuffie more so by submission because you can't get what you think you should get for him? So in reality, just giving him the contract extension is more worth it.
I mean, if you got a big time pick for Trent McDuffie, this was the 2027 draft, and let's say you got a pick between 18 and 24. That's much different than drafting in 2026, because I think we're going to look back, you know, at this draft in a couple of years and go, man, there really wasn't much in the first round. And so, yeah, I just don't want to give Trent McDuffie up. Now, if it's a good pick and a good draft, yeah, you have to really consider that move, but I don't think this is a draft to do it.
All right, Jay, you said the draft is kind of changing a little bit. Changed last week, changing again this week. Where are we right now with the latest draft needs for this team, especially with the Rashee Rice situation now?
I think it's 100% on wide receiver. I do. I know that defense is kind of still what people want as far as that edge rusher, but I do think the depth at edge rusher, you can get one there at pick 40. But, yeah, they need a wide receiver. They need somebody to break the game open and catch the football, and it becomes even more imperative with Rashee Rice. You got to have guys you can count on. You need to have players you can count on that actually leave St. Joe, that do well in St. Joe, and actually play on the roster at the beginning of the season. That's what they need. I've seen more and more of these mocks. I look at the 25 latest, as you guys know, Bob, and I saw a trend last Friday. It was actually down. It was actually the 10 latest mocks that came out, only two Jeremiah Loves.
Wow.
But then, of course, Mel Kiper, well, there's only five edges or total in this latest one I did, which is crazy. Five or between receivers and edge, there was only five. And it was more towards Jeremiah Love now. It was way down on Friday. Then, of course, Mel Kiper puts his mock draft out, and guess what? Everybody sees that. Ooh, Jeremiah Love. Let's go definitely Jeremiah Love because Mel Kiper picked him. And then, boom, out of 25 latest mock drafts as of yesterday, Bob, 13 of the 25 were Jeremiah Loves. Much different than it was Friday. As soon as the Rashee Rice news came out, it went more wide receiver. Still not a ton, but it went more and went back on Jeremiah Love. But, you know, as soon as the Mel Kiper or somebody like that puts out a Jeremiah Love, boom, everybody does. But it's silly season right now.
Yep.
Really, I'd start really paying attention to some of the mocks once the combine is done and when some of those numbers come out with the 40 times and everything else. And, of course, free agency on March 9th through 11th, legal tampering, that's going to totally change what teams need anyway.
Yeah, you speak of team needs. Maybe it's not the most important need for the Kansas City Chiefs, but somebody's got to back up Patrick Mahomes if and only if he is not ready to go by weeks one through, I don't know, three, Bink. Do you see a reunion with Gardner Minshew, or is there a name out there that maybe we're not thinking of?
Man, that would be the thing, Doug. I mean, this is the one year, I think, where that actually matters. You know, instead of the Blaine Gabberts or the Chad Hennings, you're like, okay, that's fine. Just put anybody out there. But with a quarterback in his 30s and a quarterback that went down with a very serious injury, and you don't 100% know the timeline of when he's coming back, those first couple games are imperative, man. They're very important. You don't want to start where the Chiefs did last year, missing the six games of Rashee Rice, then Worthy being down three of them. They were 3-3. That really set the tempo for the Chiefs last season, how they started, in my opinion. And you don't want that again. If I was betting on it, I would say Mahomes is back early on, with the first game or whatever, because that you don't bet against that guy. That guy is just always going to come back. But I think it's imperative to have that guy. And the quarterbacks just aren't out there. They're clearly not in the draft. And Andy Reid's not going to draft somebody to be the number two quarterback of the Chiefs. It's going to be a journeyman, man. It's going to be that Gardner Minshew type. And being here for the year, being behind Patrick Mahomes, being in that meeting room every day, I think that's seriously a direction you want to go to. You look at the free agent quarterbacks like a Malik Willis. You know, these are what teams are going to settle for, as they all look for that next Sam Darnold in the magic he created. There's going to be somebody that trades the 49ers for Mac Jones, thinking that Mac Jones is the next 49ers. But the quarterbacks are just so thin in the NFL, and having a guy that's already been with their system is perfect. I would make an effort, unless Derek Carr's got these demands, he wants to be on a competitor and all this. Well, good luck. If you're a competitive team, you have a quarterback. So would Derek Carr come in here and be a backup quarterback? I highly doubt that or Kirk Cousins, somebody like that, but somebody in here that already knows the system, that's kind of a premium thing. Because back end quarterbacks, the end, like if you rate every team and their quarterbacks, the back end of them are extremely thin. And you look at backup quarterbacks in this league, and they're even a lot thinner. But a guy that's already been with the system and been with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes for a year, yeah, I would lean heavily to bring back Gardner Minshew.
Jay, a big offseason, if you will, for the front office. Brett Veach talked about how the last couple of years they've just been maintaining, and now they get an opportunity to kind of rebuild. What are you expecting from this front office over the next couple of weeks?
I'm glad he said that, maintain, because that's kind of what they did.
Yeah.
If you go back to Super Bowl 57, they did rebuild that, because I'll never forget Brett Veach when he held up that Lombardi trophy at the Super Bowl parade when they beat the Eagles. Back in Super Bowl 57, he held it up and he said, this is what a rebuild looks like. Because they kind of had rebuild. You know, you bring in a Jalen Watson in the seventh round. You bring in Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round. They literally kind of rebuilt this team by drafting at the end of rounds. Now this is going to be imperative. The Chiefs front office, it's been the one area that has been raided. Like, people have grabbed people out of the front office and are GMs around the National Football League, but that is one of the areas of this team that has suffered with attrition. What can they do? This is by far and away Brett Veach's most important draft, because you can't always use that excuse anymore. Well, drafting at the end of the round and defending the first round and the second round. Well, now it's top 10. But not only that, but you get those extra weeks. So now all your coaching staff can more familiarize themselves, and the scouts are always going to do it anyway, but now they get to know these guys a little bit, and they know who they're going to be looking for in Indianapolis, and that list of a handful of guys that they're really going to concentrate on and interview when they get to Indianapolis, who they see as big fits. But it becomes more and more important. We're going to see how good this front office is. I believe in this front office, because they've been able just to basically flip this roster with just a few guys remaining on this roster pre-Patrick Mahomes. They basically flipped this thing before, and they've done it before our eyes, and no one's really talked about it. Like, they literally have flipped this roster right around Super Bowl 57. They rebuilt it a little bit once they were beaten by the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. They really, really did it after Super Bowl 57, but this is their chance to really do it. You know, picking in premium picks, I mean, they got three in the top 74, 140 and 74. This is the chance to shine, I believe, in this front office, but now's the time to see what they can do, because they've had this full off season now and weeks to prepare for the NFL draft. So I'm excited to see what they do.
Bink, we appreciate the time. We're ready for the mock draft to come out with you and Unicero on the character concerns, and we will talk to you next Wednesday, and I will talk to you the rest of the week via text message.
All right, my friends. Take care.
See you, Jay.
That's Jay Binkley. I think he was excited to see Paige Sporanic back on Twitter. She said, sometimes I dress up. Beakley said, oh, man. Coming up on the other side, there have been odds that have shifted for the number one overall pick in the draft. Which draft? We'll talk to you about it next year on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Boobs are great.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Well,